Good morning.
Welcome.
We rejoice in your presence as we gather in unity around the throne of grace. My name is Jeff Redeman, and I am a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in your life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so our pastor can connect with you. Finally, fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it into the ushers during the passing of the peace. The radio broadcast is sponsored by Mark, Steve, Tom, and David Weber in memory of their parents, Joyce and Donald Weber. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The message this morning is titled, What Do You Want? By Pastor Sana. Zion Community Summerfest this week. Join us on Wednesday to enjoy food, music, kids' activities, and shop the indoor home goods sale. 5 to 7. Menu, burgers, hot dogs, chips, baked beans, dessert, and beverages. Volunteers are needed for Summerfest to help set up at 3:30 p.m. and clean up afterwards. A sign-up sheet is on the table in the narthex. In conjunction with Zion Summerfest, there will be a home goods sale. The market will feature delicious foods, unique crafts, and beautiful handmade items like custom soaps and candles. If you have a creation that fits this summer vibe, we want to showcase it. Please bring baked goods, craft items to the church no later than 4 p.m. July 29th. Baked goods should be wrapped so they can be priced. Baked goods and craft items also can be dropped off during church hours. Come help with the Giant Days Parade food collection on Sunday, August 3rd. First Lutheran and Pastor Sam have invited Zion UCC to help collect food and monetary donations for the Lesueur Food Shelf during the Giant Days Parade. There is a sign-up sheet on the table in the narthex if you are interested in joining the parade. August is Zion's month at the food shelf. Volunteers are needed to help at the food shelf. Join the fun. There is a sign-up sheet in the table in the narthex. The Lesueur Food Shelf is also accepting donations of school supplies for local students. Bring your donation to Zion during the month of August. In appreciation for all our work and service to the Zion Church community, we are inviting members to write words of thanksgiving and provide monetary gifts. Please put an envelope marked Diane in the collection plate on Sundays or drop it off at the office before August 13, Diane's last day. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend in person. Now let us prepare for worship.
Good morning. As most of you are aware or know, Pastor Sana has resigned her position as interim pastor at Zion UCC effective August 15th, 2026. We respect her decision and we wish her well in her future endeavors. But I, as I'm sure many of you are wondering, what do we do now? I can assure you that the council is working hard to keep the church moving forward. I have spoken to Reverend Cindy Mueller, the Minister for Congregations in Transition for the Minnesota Conference, Pastor Sana, the Executive Board, and members of the Transition Team about the best way to proceed. We are all in agreement that our congregation would benefit from hiring a short-term bridge pastor who would provide consistent leadership beginning August 16th. I am making calls to find someone that is willing and available for this position. Also, in speaking with Pastor Sana and members of the transition team, we believe that the transition team can move forward and complete their mission with the guidance of a person with whom is, guidance from a person who has transition experience and can support the team as they work to determine who we are now and what we want and need in a settled pastor. We have contacted a person who works with the Minnesota Conference and asked her to help to fulfill this role. In short, we expect to have a team of two people working together and with us as we continue to search for a settled pastor. This is our plan. It is in the works. And it may change from time to time. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please feel free to contact me or any member of the council. Thank you for your continued prayer and support.
Stories of the Bible. Solomon asks for wisdom. This is Solomon.
Hey there!
Solomon was the king of Israel after his father David. Solomon loved God, and God was with Solomon and made him very powerful.
Oh, yeah!
One night, God appeared to Solomon in a dream.
Whoa!
God said, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." Solomon said, "You showed great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place." But then Solomon said that he felt like a child who didn't know his way, and that there were so many people of Israel to lead. So Solomon asked God for wisdom. He asked for an understanding heart so that he could rule God's people well and know the difference between right and wrong. God was happy that Solomon asked for wisdom because it showed that his greatest desire was to help God's people. God said, "I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested, but I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame, such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future."
Whoa!
Then Solomon woke up and realized it had been a dream.
Wow!
He went back to Jerusalem and made sacrifices to God. God did give all he said he would to Solomon. Solomon was known as a wise king and ruled God's people with wisdom for many years.
Good morning. Dearest members of Zion, as a member of the transition team, I've been thinking about our current struggles at Zion and wanted to share some of what I've been thinking and feeling. When I first read the news from Sana last week that she was resigning, I was devastated and sad and then so very angry at anyone and everyone, including myself, for not being able to fix this relationship and for failing to nurture a new pastor during her first ever call. Poor David Brown got the brunt of that hissy fit. Then something happened that I wasn't expecting. I went to four different church meetings that same day, and each one gave me a little more hope. Pastor Sana immediately addressed the elephant in the room, her resignation, with honesty and clarity. She had devotionals for each of the meetings that focused our attention on God and asked us to dig deeper. We prayed together, and the members of each of those committees responded with honesty, kindness, and I think respect for her as our pastor and teacher. She's not slowing down or taking it easy on her way out the door. She's giving Zion her all as she helps us get ready for the next steps. Change is a difficult thing, and yet it is happening always and everywhere. My friend Bonnie, an interim minister herself, shared a metaphor with me that helped me understand my own approach and accept that it's not the only way to move forward. Change is like a river. Some people run quickly into the water and cross into the change without a second thought. Others get stuck in the water, analyzing what needs to change and why we should or shouldn't consider other ways of being. Still others stay on the bank of the river, not daring to confront the change that is in front of them. None of these attitudes is wrong. They are just different ways of dealing with problem solving and situations that life throws at us. We need to remember that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ and that Christ asks us to love one another, no matter how wet we are, cross the river, in the river, or not going in the river. It's not about who's right or wrong, but rather how we can practice treating one another with grace. Believe me, I'm still practicing because I don't have it perfect yet. Finally, I want to say that I've been troubled and upset with God for the upheaval Sana's ministry among us has triggered. I had to pray about that a lot. But this is what God has put in my heart to say. You, Betty Jo, transition team, are not in charge of the world or Zion or the plans that I, God, have for you. Ever since we went to Sana's ordination and heard the Ezekiel passage preached, God was giving me hints about the prophetic message God was sending all of us through his servant Sana. If you read the Bible, you know very well how God's prophets have often been received. Sana's sermons and letters to us have laid out some work we as a church need to do to move forward, something the transition team has been working together to confront. And I believe the upheaval itself has strengthened us in a way that a softer message may not have. I've spoken to many people who are anxious about yet another change and sad to see Pastor Sana go. But I also believe they are ready to get busy and do the work that lies before us. The majority want to pull together with God's leadership to do the work that needs to happen. The other passage from Sana's ordination says, "Peter, do you love me?" Jesus speaking, "Then feed my sheep." I believe that our transition team, in coordination with the council and the search committee, can continue to support this work and prayerfully find our way to the next steps God is calling us to take in feeding and loving God's people in and around Le Sueur. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty Jo. Good morning, Zion.
Good morning.
May the grace and peace of God be with you. Welcome to worship. Let us prepare for worship by taking three breaths. Gracious God, you have made yourself known among us. When we seek you, we find you. You surround us with love and righteousness. Your presence strengthens us and upholds us. While we gather together, let us be mindful that your wisdom speaks, your power fuels, and your love fills us. Grant us discernment. Let us be faithful. May you be glorified this morning. Please rise in body or spirit for the call to worship. Also, please follow the screen and not your bulletin. The bolding is wrong.
In a world that cries out, "Fear me,"
we will listen to Jesus' words that say,
don't be afraid. In a world that wants us to hate the other,
we will live Jesus' call to love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
In a world that radicalizes,
we too will be radical.
Radical with our hospitality,
radical with our hope,
radical with our love. Come to this holy place, ready to be who we are called to be, children of God.
Let us gather together
and worship God.
Amen. Please join us for the opening hymn, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. For the opening prayer. God of small seeds and mighty plants, you take our meager lives and with your love cause them to produce acts of loving kindness in this world. You hear the cries of your children and find us when we are lost and wandering in fear. You bring us home and make us whole. Help us to joyfully serve all our days, knowing that you are always watching over us. Prepare our hearts to receive your word and our spirits to respond in eagerness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Please join for the next song, next hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. We admit that we need to begin again, for we all have fallen short. So we come to you, God, seeking a fresh start. With confidence that you hear our prayers, let us confess our sins. God of grace, we want to understand. God of grace, we want to understand what kingdom of heaven is like, but our minds are limited. We fail to trust in you. We fail to watch for you in all things. We fail to be wholehearted in our faith and discipleship. We fail to put our trust in the treasures of your kingdom instead of treasures of the world. Gracious God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear your good news. Help us to know the kingdom of God is here and not yet. Help us to transform our lives and our world by your grace and by our actions. Children of God, the Holy One radiates grace and mercy. By the power of love and spirit, receive the opportunity to redeem and repair every mistake, every passive participation, every deliberate action that has caused harm. Receive God's forgiveness in order to be released from shame and released to make things right. Know that nothing can separate us from God's love. Said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. May the peace of the Lord always be with you." Let us share the peace with one another. pray. Holy God, it is with humble hearts and audacious hope that we come before you in prayer. We pray for beginnings so often as small as a mustard seed, planted where life has grown dry and weary. It is hard to wait for what we cannot see to sprout and to grow. We rush ahead with our own visions of what the kingdom must be, and yet in time, new life begins and will one day give shelter to many who flock to it. Give us patience, O Lord. We pray for spirit and breath like leaven that creates space and rises towards something new. We need the new life in your church. Where things feel flat and tasteless, may we be leaven. Enable us to see the transformation your spirit brings, even when others question its worth. Give us courage, O Lord. We pray for unsettled economies and those who wonder where their next meal will come from. We hear that the kingdom is like a hidden treasure, and we quickly start adding up the cost so that we might hoard it for all ourselves. Inspire us to share the abundance that you have provided for us. Help us to treasure each and every one of your children as beloved. Give us faith, O Lord. We pray for those who feel they have no value. We pray for the sick. We pray for Lewis Walker. We pray for those who grieve, like a merchant who searches and searches for a pearl. May we open our lives and our churches to those who need your grace and love. Let us not be too impressed with ourselves and yet not too dismissive of you who have created us to be. Give us humility, O Lord. We pray for the amazing diversity of the world, for the net that gathers all into the web of care and concern. May we speak the truth to those who try to diminish or divide us. May we work for peace in places of violence and despair. Open our minds to learn from those most different from us. Give us wisdom, O Lord. God of grace, continue to puzzle and confine us by your word, for in our questions you lead us to growth and change. Draw us ever closer to you, that we might be a glimpse of your kingdom here and now, even as we join our voices to pray in whatever language and version that feels comfortable to you, the words Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre. Tenga tu nuestro reino. Haga tu voluntad en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en la tentación y líbranos con mal, porque tuyo es el reino y el poder y la gloria para siempre. Amen. That's what Pentecost felt like, by the way.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. At Gibeon, God appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern these great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom, so God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Amen. The second scripture for today, the Gospel of Matthew 13, 31 to 32 and 44 to 52. He put before them another parable. This is Jesus talking. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and buried. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore and sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you heard of this? Have you understood all this?" They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. God, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and open our hearts. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. When I was a little girl, I was asked, like many children are asked, what do I want to be when I grow up? Before I tell you what I said, I'm going to give you some unsolicited advice. Please don't ask us this question. Why? Because many child psychologists and career experts agree that this question, what do you want to be when you grow up, although well-intended, implies several things. One, our identity is tied to our job. Two, we have a single calling. Three, it puts premature pressure on children to figure things out. Four, it doesn't acknowledge the reality of this job market that's constantly changing in our economy, where people have many careers now. And five, It limits children's imagination of what's possible. Anyway, so when I was asked this question as a child, I remember distinctly saying, I want to be wise when I grow up. My mom worried that wisdom would not pay the bills and keep a roof over my head. She worried I would be a medium or a tarot reader. So she told people I wanted to be a lawyer, a more respectable career. So yes, wisdom was my ultimate goal in life. It still is. But after almost half a century of being alive on Earth, I know that wisdom comes with a price. God throws us into trials and tribulations so we can grow into wisdom. Because it's really hard for most of us to become wise just by reading and observing other people's lives. For most of us, wisdom comes with age and experience. Solomon didn't have either. When God asks Solomon in a dream what he wants, Solomon responds by acknowledging that his place on the throne is a direct result of God's faithfulness to David. Solomon grounds his request to God in the memories of what God has done for him and for David and David's people. Memory is often a significant motif in the Old Testament. Frequently, the Israelites remember what God has done for them in the past as the foundation of their hope that God will continue to sustain them in the future. Solomon's memory of God's faithfulness to David and to him leads him to gratitude. And this gratitude informs the request he makes. This move from remembering God's actions to gratitude can be an important example for us today as we discern who we are and what we're called to be. Solomon goes to say, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by themselves is able to govern great people of yours?" For context, this passage is set in the early days of Solomon's reign. This era marked a significant transition in Israel's history as a nation, that it moved from charismatic leadership of judges and prophets to a monarchy, which the people of Israel begged God for. This story unfolds in Gibeon, a place where sacrifices were offered before the construction of the temple in Jerusalem. Culturally and politically, Israel is at a crossroads. The kingdom is united under Saul and solidified by King David, was at its peak but faced challenges from surrounding nations. The religious landscape around them was complex. Although the worship of God of Israel was central, it still had influence by local Canaanite practices. This passage, the dream, sets the tone for Solomon's reign. It follows the political maneuvering of Solomon's rise to kingship and comes before stories of his wisdom and building projects. See, Solomon finds himself elevated to king rather suddenly and under contested and violent consequences. Solomon is not the expected heir of David. His older brother, Adonijah, is first in line and has actively promoted himself as king even before David, their father, has died. But David apparently made a private vow to Bathsheba that her son would sit on the throne. Hearing that Adonijah was already declared king by some and remembering his promise, David orders that Solomon be anointed as the next king. In doing so, David instructs Solomon to eliminate the list of enemies who can threaten this young king's power, something Solomon will eventually do mostly through executions. See, Solomon isn't as young and innocent as he sounds when he answers God's question, but at the very least, he understands that the great weight of responsibilities that has fallen to him as a king. And perhaps Solomon feels some inkling of guilt for the blood on his hands when asking for wisdom. Although he addresses himself as a child, he is likely 20 years old and still an inexperienced leader. So that night, when Solomon is asleep, after a day given over to worshiping God with a plethora of sacrifices, in a dream, God appears to this young king and asks him, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." What an offer. What would you ask for if you could have anything? Money? Power? Fame? Beauty? Health? Longevity? Something else? Something more specific to your circumstances, needs, or desires? Solomon certainly had money and power and fame, but we know many who have those things and want more. The possibilities seem endless. Solomon says, "Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern good and evil." This request itself is a sign that he already possessed an ounce of wisdom that he was asking for. He knows he's not like his father, who is charismatic, who was a charismatic warrior and a self-made tycoon. He knows he has limits. He knows his inadequacies. And thus, he knows he needs God's help. The Hebrew translation for the word wisdom here is hearing heart. Solomon is asking for a heart that is open to hear God and a mind that is receptive to divine instruction. Solomon wants to use his authority and power for the good of the people, but he knows he can't do this on his own. He knows he needs the help of God to discern what is just and unjust, what is wise and what is foolish, and what is good and what is evil. The central message of this text is the importance of divine wisdom in leadership. It teaches that true wisdom comes from God and is more valuable than worldly possessions. We know that wisdom is not simply abstract knowledge. Wisdom is ethical knowledge involving both the head and the heart. Wisdom is living out the things we know to be true, right, and just. Biblically speaking, wisdom is our God-given understanding to do justice, show mercy, and walk humbly with God. As commendable as Solomon's request is, he eventually doesn't obey God with his heart and mind the way his father did. Somewhere along the line, Solomon loses his way and he begins to worship other gods. Perhaps he lost perspective and began to think he did not need God. Certainly, as king, he seems to become more concerned about his own comfort and pleasure than that of his people. This is why wisdom requires constant humility. As Mahatma Gandhi observed, quote, "It is unwise to be sure of one's wisdom. It is healthy to be reminded that the strongest might weaken and the wisest might err. The wise always remember that they're fallible and sinful, that they have limited knowledge and ability, and remember that they always need God and continually turn to God for help." The good news for us is that God's generous offer to Solomon extends to us today. In and through Christ, we are invited into a relationship that transforms our hearts and minds. Jesus embodied divine wisdom. We, as followers of Jesus, receive the gift of wisdom through the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and can guide us every day in every aspect of our lives. While Solomon is given wisdom to govern a literal kingdom, we are given wisdom to manifest the kingdom of heaven. So, what is the kingdom of heaven? In today's gospel, Matthew 13, Jesus tries to describe this in many different ways. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's like a little bit of yeast. It's like a treasure in the field. It's like a great pearl of value. It's like a fishing net. What do all these things have in common? For starters, the kingdom of heaven is not immediately visible. It does not announce itself with fanfare. It operates beneath the surface of things, and it requires those who desire it to seek it. Second, the kingdom is not about size, but impact. The kingdom of God looks small, even tiny. It looks foolish. In fact, the kingdom can even disappear completely, the way a seed gets buried in the soil. Drop one of those little wisps into the dirt and you won't even be able to see it or find it. The same is true of yeast in dough. Once it's mixed with water and oil, it disappears. You can't separate it back. Yet these tiny things have great effects. Most importantly, for both the mustard seed and the yeast to be productive and fruitful, other conditions have to be right and require active participation. These are not magic beans growing towering beanstalk overnight. Instead, there is a woman who plants and presumably tends the seed. There's a man who kneads and patiently waits for the time to shape the loaves. God's kingdom of God of heaven is a partnership with us, God's beloved children. God's kingdom may look as insignificant as a grain of mustard or a packet of dry yeast. But the kingdom can change hearts. It can change the world. It has changed the world. Small, quiet, everyday acts of love hold the power to completely transform this world. Finally, the kingdom of heaven asks for total dedication. The man who finds the treasure sells all he has. The merchant who discovers the pearl does the same. These are not stories about wise investments. These are stories about people who encounter something extraordinary and then they decide to reorganize their entire lives around it. See, I worry when people hear the word kingdom of heaven, they think of a physical space. Jesus didn't say the kingdom of heaven is a building or found in things. It is not an external world ruled by God with military power and might, but it's an internal world where we are in communion with God. For this reason, sometimes we refer to the kingdom of God as the kingdom of God. This phrase underscores the horizontal dimension of God's realm by employing the word kin, which includes our brothers, sisters, and siblings in Christ. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. What if we see the kingdom of God as a state of being, as a place where we listen, we take in, and we respond with the same generosity we are given by God? The kingdom is not just about being nice. It's about the quality of our lives, our sense of rootedness in God, and how we serve others. The kingdom of heaven starts small. We do little things like practice hospitality, forgiveness, kindness, generosity, and empathy to bring about God's realm. Encouraging each other and deepening our relationships with each other is how we build this kingdom. Through small acts is how we get this done. Anything that brings hope and healing and new life to those in need. Wherever people act with radical compassion, break down barriers, forgive one another, and stand up for justice, a glimpse or a piece of heaven breaks through into our ordinary life on earth. The church, meaning the body of Christ, not the building, regardless of its size and resources, is given this world-transforming mission.
With the help of God, we are responsible for bringing about the kingdom of God here on earth today, not sometime in the future. Because the way of Jesus is to end oppression, injustice, and poverty. But that doesn't happen through domination or fighting or war. And Jesus isn't going to jump out the clouds and make everything better everywhere. It's going to happen through us. Jesus wants us to let our hearts and minds be transformed, person by person, relationship by relationship, through the love of God. So Zion, you are not a young king who's trying to rule over people like Solomon. You are a long-standing established church with a purpose and a mission. A mission to bring about the kingdom of God here in Lesueur. What is the wisdom you seek? What do you need to ask God to recognize and bring about the kingdom of God here on earth? Because the reality is, Jesus wants us to go and be the yeast in the world's flour. He wants us to scatter the seeds of love and joy and peace. And even if our acts seem too small to do much good, we must trust in God. Trust that these little seeds will grow and one day will provide shelter for another. Because the kingdom of heaven works like that. May it be so. Let us pray. Holy God, shape our hearts to desire what you desire. Grant us wisdom to serve your people and build your kingdom here on earth. Guide us in using our gifts and treasures for others. Amen.
are privileged to participate in the construction of the kingdom of God. Through our gifts, we follow the model of God's generosity as we express our hope for a better future, and we tangibly love our neighbor. Let us give with joy and expectation that our gifts are met with God's magnifying power.